Good morning. I'd like to thank you all for coming out this morning. If you would turn over to the 39th Psalm, we'll be reading from there shortly. But before we do that, I guess you guys are probably tired of hearing this, but like I've said before, and I will say many a times, I am thankful for this opportunity I've been given to be able to be up here and present a lesson to you all and to strengthen my knowledge and build up myself in learning the words that this Bible teaches, so that I may teach it to people in a way that is understanding, and that I may expand upon that and teach in a way that is more simplistic. So we're going to be looking at the 39th Psalm and verse 1. And this verse is going to give us the mindset of what this lesson is about this morning. And I'll be reading from the King James Version, and all the verses that I will be reading from are from the King James Version. So if it sounds a little different, that is why. So the 39th Psalm in verse 1 reads, I said, I will take heed to my ways, that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked is before me. So we can see at the very beginning of this verse, it says, I said, I will take heed to my ways. And that is the title of my lesson, is to take heed. And some of the things we need to take heed to are what we're going to be looking at this morning. So let's get right into it. The first thing that we need to take heed to is to ourselves. Turn over to Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. It reads, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Now this is to the elders at the church of Ephesus, and he's saying to take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock. And before we expand upon this thought, also turn over to 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 16. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 16. It reads, take heed unto thyself and unto thy doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. So in both these examples, in both these scriptures, we see that these two groups of people, Timothy, a young preacher, and the elders at the church of Ephesus, they're both in a leadership role. And we as Christians are also in that leadership role. We are to be lights in this world. And we know that this world is a dark place, and we're here to stand out and be shining lights. And it says we have to take heed unto our ways. And he tells that to the elders at the church of Ephesus, saying, take heed unto thy ways that you may end to the flock. Not just to the flock, the people among them, but also to themselves. And he says this to Timothy as well, because if you're in a role of leadership and you're not taking heed to your ways, then people will look at you differently and you'll lose your ability to talk to people and they will not respect you as much. This reminds me of over in Matthew chapter 7 and verses 3 through 5. Matthew chapter 7 verses 3 through 5. This is talking about with the plank in our own eye. So starting in verse 3. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. So when we're in this role, the elders at Ephesus, if they were doing things, if they weren't taking heed to themselves, if they were doing things that was against the will of God, they wouldn't really have an opportunity to try to take the speck out of the people there, their brother's eye. So they needed to take heed to their ways, is what Paul, or what was written to them in Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, to take heed to their ways and to do these things so that they may be able to take the mote out of their eye. Because it is impossible when they have a beam in their own eye to take that speck out of their brother's eye. So this is why we need to take heed to our ways. For an example, the kind of people that we hang out with and the decisions we make with them. What are the decisions that you make? It's something to think about, because if you're not taking heed to your ways, it can lead to something that is not good and will lead to sin. The second thing that we need to take heed to is to what we hear. Turn over to Mark chapter 4 and verse 24. Mark chapter 4 and verse 24. And he said unto them, Take heed what ye hear. With what measure ye met, it shall be measured to you, and unto you that hear shall more be given. So it says clearly in this verse at the beginning that we need to take heed what we hear. And why do we need to take heed what we hear? Well, we need to take heed what we hear because of everything that's out there. All the false prophets and the false teachers in this world, you can drive around and see all the churches around here, the different names of the churches. We see this because there are so many misunderstandings of the Bible and people are teaching false things and people follow these things. So we need to take heed to what we hear. Look over in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1. This clearly tells us that we need to be careful with what we hear. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. So we know there are many false prophets out there. This reminds me over in Galatians of the Judaizing teachers, where they were teaching these people that Paul had taught, these people who had accepted it, the words of Paul. But they were teaching them and telling them that they needed to do more. They needed to be circumcised as well, to become Jews in a sense is what he was telling them. And even Paul says in Galatians chapter 1 and verse 6, he marvels at how quickly they turned away. We need to be careful with what we hear, the kind of music that we listen to, the kind of shows on TV that we watch and hear, the things that we hear. We need to take heed to that. And a little side note with that, with what we watch on TV, we also need to take heed to what we watch or to what we see. We can even see this, that Jesus says that in John chapter 10, don't believe what I say. He's saying, don't believe that when I say that I'm the Christ, don't believe that, but believe my works. And how could they believe his works? Well, they had to see it. And they had to see his work. So we have to take heed to what we hear and to what we see. Now, who are we to hear? Well, we are to hear Jesus. Look over in Matthew chapter 17 and verse 5. Matthew chapter 17 and verse 5. It reads, While yet he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. We need to hear Jesus. God tells us that we need to hear Jesus. So this is who we have to hear. Now, literally, we can't hear Jesus because he is not here. He was crucified, buried, and resurrected. But we can still hear his words through what we read in this Bible, in the book. We can see this because in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, it says, All Scripture is the inspired Word of God. Now, the apostles wrote these things of Jesus, and we know these are the words of Jesus because of John chapter 16, in verses 13 and 14, when Jesus is telling them that the Holy Spirit would come and give them guidance unto what they needed to know. And that the Holy Spirit in verse 14, at the end of verse 14, says that He will take what Jesus said and declare it unto them. So we need to hear Jesus and we need to take heed to what we hear and hear Jesus only. The third thing that we need to take heed to is that no man deceive you. Turn over to Matthew chapter 24 and verse 4. Matthew 24 and verse 4. And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you. This goes back to the thing with the Judaizing teachers in Galatians. These men were deceiving these people into saying that they needed to be circumcised when they didn't. And they were deceiving them and turning them away from what Paul had taught them, the truths that Paul had taught them. And the reason why this has happened is because they weren't trained. They weren't well trained in knowledge of what was to be that what was taught to them and into the Scriptures. And that's what we need to be. We need to be well taught in the Scriptures and know what it says. So when someone comes before us and is speaking to us about things of the Bible, we know what the truth is and we can present it to them and show them that what they're saying is not the truth. A great example of this is over in Matthew chapter 4. In Matthew chapter 4, when Satan came to Jesus, all three times when Satan tried to tempt Jesus into sinning, all three times, Jesus used Scripture to back up the reason why He would not do these things. So we need to do that as well and be well trained. Also, look in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 3. Now, me and Lynn have been studying, as I have been in the training program, over 2 Corinthians and the heart of Paul, how Paul cared so much about these Corinthians. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 3, we can see how much he cares for them in this verse as well. In verse 3 it reads, But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. He's scared. He says, but I fear. He cares so much and he's fearing for these people that they will be turned away from what they had been taught by these false prophets and these false teachers back in that time. And we as well need to be careful with who we hang around, such as our friends. Maybe we have a couple friends that aren't a Christian. Maybe they're a Mormon or something along those lines. And we need to be careful when we're hanging around them not to take what we know as the truth and to kind of turn away from that and not allow it to be part of our lives and to teach them the truth. Because soon you say, oh, well, I'm just going to hang out with this person. And then later they ask you to attend services with them. And you say, oh, okay, I'll attend services with them one time just because I'm trying to be friends. And then next thing you know, another time comes. Then another time, then another time. And before you know it, this man has deceived you into turning into a different religion and turning away from the truth. So we need to take heed that no man shall deceive us. The last thing that we need to take heed to is lest you fall. Look over in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. So we need to take heed lest we fall, because if we don't take heed to these certain things that we see, we will fall. And if we don't take heed to that, we will fall, and we know what happens when we fall. It leads to sin. We start sinning, and then that we know what sin leads to, and that is to hell. Turn over to 2 Peter chapter 3 and verses 16 and 17. I love this verse because it sums up this whole lesson pretty much in these two verses. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. It reads, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which that they are unlearned and unstable, rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. We need to be careful. As we can see in verse 17, it says, ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also. That's taking heed to themselves. Be wary. Being led away with the error of the wicked, that no man deceive you. We need to take heed that no man shall deceive us. And what are the being led away in the error of the wicked? What is the error of the wicked? What we can see in verse 16 is the twisting of the scriptures that they did. And that is, so we need to take heed to what we hear from these people. And finally, at the end, fall from your own steadfastness. We need to beware lest ye also fall from your own steadfastness. So we need to take heed lest we fall. We have many examples in the Bible of people falling away. But there's one man in particular I'd like to look at. Turn over to Philemon in 24. Philemon verse 24. It reads, Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas, my fellow laborers. Now, as we can see here, there is a man named Demas in here. And he's a fellow laborer with Paul at this time. And if he was a fellow laborer with Paul, we can see that he must have seen some of the things Paul did, some of the miracles that Paul had done, and some of the things that Paul had taught, and some of the beatings and the stripes that Paul had received. He must have seen these things. And he must have been built up by these things, seeing these things, the miracles that Paul had done. He must have been... I don't understand how you can see something and not obey it and fall away. If someone was raised from the dead, we would all believe that this person obviously has some kind of miracle powers and has a godly power. But a sad thing happens if we look over in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 10. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 10 says, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica. So we can see this man who had been with Paul and seen these things. Still, he loved the things of this world, the present world, and he fell away. He didn't take heed lest he fall. And we need to take heed lest we fall, because it is very easy for us to do this as well. Now the last thing, or the last person that we need to take heed to, is to the Lord. Turn over to Hosea chapter 4 and verse 10. Hosea chapter 4 and verse 10. For they shall eat and not have enough. They shall commit whoredom and shall not increase, because they have left off to take heed to the Lord. Now what this verse is saying is they shall eat and not have enough. Well, why is that? Because they have left off to take heed to the Lord. They haven't taken heed to the Lord. So we need to take heed to the Lord. We need to obey the Lord and follow His commands. We can see over in Ecclesiastes chapter 1 and verse 2, the writer of Ecclesiastes says, "Vanity of vanities, all is vanity." Solomon, who had these great riches and all these pleasures in the world, he tried all of them, and none of them worked out. And he says, "Vanity of vanities, all is vanity." And then in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13, he says, "Let us hear the conclusion of this whole matter. To fear God and keep His commandments. That is man's awe." And that should be our awe. We should fear God and keep His commandments and follow Him. Look over in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." We need to seek God first and the kingdom of God and His righteousness. "And these things shall be added unto you." These things that he's talking about, we can see over in verse 25. In verse 25, it's talking about the resting and the food. Where is the food? Where is the rest? It says, the thing is, we need to seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. "And these things shall be added unto us." We don't need to worry. We need to trust in the Lord and follow Him. Look over in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17. This is the final verse. Colossians 3 and verse 17. Says, "And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him." So we need to do whatever we do in word or deed, everything around us, where we go, the music we listen to, the things we do, should all be in word or deed for the Lord. And we need to do these things, giving thanks to God through Jesus. So in conclusion, these are some of the things that we need to take heed to. If we do take heed to these things, we can rest assured that our walk with God will be a whole lot easier. We won't have to suffer as many persecutions if we do these things. We will have an easier life and know that it is leading unto something, salvation. It is leading unto heaven, and we need to do these things. There may be some here this morning who have not taken heed to the Lord yet. And there are a few steps that you need to take before you can take heed to the Lord and obey His commands and follow Him. The first step is that we must hear. As we can see over in Acts chapter 10 and verse 22, when Cornelius sent his servants over to Peter and saying that they needed to hear words from Peter, and they heard the words. Also the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts chapter 8, when Philip taught him Jesus, he heard Jesus, he heard these words. So our first step is we have to hear the words of Jesus and the things that is said in the Bible for salvation. The second is we have to believe. When we hear, it will lead to a belief. We can see this over in Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We needed to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. The next step is we need to repent. We can see this in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. When He's telling them to repent, therefore, and be baptized to wash away your sins. Also, we can see in Acts chapter 17 and verse 30. When it tells us, "Truly these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent." So we need to repent of our sins, turn away from our sins, and follow towards Christ. The next step is we need to confess. Not a confession of our sins, but a confession that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We see this over in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, when it says that we need to confess with our mouth Jesus Christ is Lord. And at the end of verse 10, with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. We can see this over in Acts chapter 8 and verse 37 with the Ethiopian eunuch when he stated, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And one of the final steps we need to take is to be baptized. Now, many people believe this is not a necessary part of salvation, but it is. We can see this in Mark chapter 16 and verse 16 when Jesus stated, "He who believes and is baptized will be saved." So we need to believe. We have all these examples of people being baptized. The Ethiopian eunuch, Cornelius and his household, the Philippian jailer and his household, Paul, he was baptized for the washing away of his sins. And we can see in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 21 that it says, there is also an antitype which now saves us. Baptism. Baptism saves us. And the final thing is we need to remain faithful, as we can see in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10, that we need to remain faithful unto death. Now there may be some here who have taken heed to the Lord and have followed His will, but have strayed from His path. The thing you need to do is to repent and pray God that the thought of your heart might be forgiven. This is what Peter told Simon the sorcerer in Acts chapter 8 and verse 22. When Simon the sorcerer was trying to buy these gifts of the Holy Spirit, he had committed a sin, and he's telling him to repent and pray God. And then the last thing is to confess your sins. And we can see this in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9, where it says, "If we confess our sins, He is just and right to forgive us." And if it is a public nature, we ask you to come forward and to confess these things. And we here will pray for you and encourage you and build you up and try to help you through your transgressions and through your trials. We ask you, if any of this applies to you or you'd like to make anything made known, please come forward as we stand and sing the song that has been selected.